And I was like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to think I'm stealing their laptop in airport security as well, which I just would like to put it out there. I saw no private parts of strangers on this trip. So that is all good. He had some bad vibes. He had some bad aura about him. He was not doing well. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you guys can hear that, but yeah, just as I've switched on the camera, switched on the mic, some thunder has started. I feel like the last couple of podcasts I've recorded has just been really bad weather. Anyway, hello everybody, welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. I hope you're all doing well. I have a lot to update you on this week, actually. I've been to Italy, so I've got that to talk about, of course. I've got some embarrassing stories to talk about while I was away, because for some reason that just happens to be my life. Lots of embarrassing things that happen to happen. What else has happened? I've got some stories from the dentist. Went to the dentist recently, which is a little bit strange, going to the dentist as an adult. I don't know why. And also, Joey had an absolute meltdown the other day, so I thought I would talk about that as well. But anyway, before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, and they also ship all over the world. So if you're like me, you're in the UK, and it's really wet weather. I mean, wherever you are, it could be really wet weather. There's something that my friends in Iceland always say is it's never bad weather. It's bad clothing. So if you are going out there complaining about the cold and complaining about the rain, it's because you don't have a good enough raincoat, you don't have a good enough waterproofs. So head over to RedPost and make sure you pick up those waterproofs, because I feel like there is no excuse for equestrians to complain about the weather this year. Anyway, thank you so much again to RedPost for sponsoring, and let's get in. So yeah, I have been away. It was a very spontaneous trip, actually, that me and my boyfriend decided to book. He took me away to Italy for a spa weekend, which very, very grateful for. Incredible time. But yeah, it was very spontaneous because both of us, we both have like businesses that we run, and Christmas is just generally a really, really busy time. From here on out for me, the next couple of like weekends, I'm pretty much working almost every weekend, or I have like something on. So we won't be going to be able to see each other like as much. So we're like, let's just have one relaxing trip away, weekend away. And a lot of it also, we like lucked out. One thing that my boyfriend has, which is like a secret talent, is he is the best person at booking flights, accommodation, travel, that kind of thing, and getting the best deal. Like, he will scour the internet looking for the best places. So we got a really good deal on our hotel, because it was actually in the Dolomites, which are like kind of like the mountain range in Italy. And it's a very new hotel, and I think a lot of people stay there like during the peak seasons when people go skiing and things like that. And because it was November when we went, it wasn't quite skiing season yet, so it was kind of like an off season for them. So it was quite quiet as well, which was really lovely. But also, both of us with our businesses rack up quite a lot of like Avios points with like credit card stuff. So pretty much, I think all the flights and the hotel, like everything, was all paid for with Avios points. So we were very, very lucky with that. But anyway, I thought we would start off with the journey there. So because it was kind of like a long weekend, we had like, I think we had 2-3 nights. We left on the Friday morning really, really early. And we had this little joke in my family. Like, don't get me wrong, I am an early bird. I am much better at staying awake in the morning than in the evening. But when I do wake up, whatever time it is, my family always say that I take a little while to defrost. And I feel like that is true. Like, when I wake up, I feel like my brain is just like a little bit foggy. It takes a little while for me to kind of get back into the real world. Like, I'm just that sort of person, when I first wake up, I'll just like walk into a door, or not like, you know, like a door frame, or like, not like I can see, but I just like, I'm a bit more clumsy. I'm not quite with it. If somebody asks me a question, it takes me 4 to 5 business days to reply. But anyway, so we got in the car, went off to the airport, and when we were going through airport security, I feel like at that sort of point, like, I was just about defrosted. But this is the first sort of embarrassing thing that I did. So one of my like pet hates, one of the things that really gets me at airport security, To be fair, I am very lucky that with my job, I do travel a lot. So me and my dad, especially when we travel for work, like we've been to the airport quite a lot that we know which queue to get in at security to know which one's the fast one. It's kind of like that. But anyway, so one of the things I hate is when people... you know, like you have to get everything out of your bag, you have to get your liquids out, you have to get your electronics out, like all that kind of stuff, is when people stand there on the like conveyor belt at the end once you've gone through, and they just like stand there between like their three little trays of stuff, and they're like putting stuff in their bag there. It's so easy just to grab your tray, take it over to the designated kind of tray area where you can spend that time reorganizing your bag, putting everything in. Like for me, when I go through airport security, for me, it's like a military operation. I try to be as efficient as possible. Like I got my liquids in my little clear bag. Like I'm good. Like I'm ready. Like I'm ready to go. I hate getting in people's way, or hate kind of like, I don't know, just being a nuisance over me. I try and be efficient. So anyway, my boyfriend went through, and I think he got stopped, you know, when they have to like, you know, I don't know how to say this in a weird, not weird way, but you know, when they have to like kind of feel up and down your arms to make sure you've not got anything dodgy on you and that kind of stuff. So I'd already gone through and I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, grab his stuff, get it off the, you know, get out the way so people can get their things. So anyway, I ended up, you know, putting all the stuff back in his bag and that kind of thing while he got held up. And I accidentally grabbed this random guy's laptop. Well, it could have been a girl. The person wasn't there. Maybe they'd been stopped as well, so it was okay. But I grabbed this random person's laptop. I thought my boyfriend had took his laptop with him. And obviously, you know, my brain wasn't quite defrosted. So I was just like packing away someone else's laptop. And he came over and was like, "Yes, is that your laptop?" And I was like, "No, I thought it was yours." He was like, "No." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, somebody's going to think I'm stealing their laptop in airport security as well," which I feel like is a slightly scary place too, because, you know, you're not like, you're not, it's kind of like, I was like, I was going to say, it just feels a bit scary, you know, it's very like, you know, you're not allowed to take photos there and things like that. It's very serious. You know, you can't make any jokes in that sort of situation. So I just like quickly grabbed it, put it in a tray, put it back on there and like skedoodled. And don't even know that's a word. I think I just made that up. I just like ran away. Like it wasn't me. I didn't steal someone's laptop. So yeah, that was quite embarrassing. But anyway, actually, to be fair, I was going to say a long journey there. It was a very short journey there. From the UK to Italy, it's what, an hour and a half, 2 hours? Like, not that far at all. So that's, as I said before in my previous podcast, that's one thing I love about living in the UK. We're just so close to so many different cultures and so many different countries that you can experience that are only like a, you know, couple of hours away. So you can, you know, go to a different country for a weekend, which we're very lucky to do. But anyway, back to what I was saying. Yeah, so we arrived in Verona. That's where we flew to. And then we got a taxi, and that was probably the most expensive thing, to be fair, of our trip. And it was good to start with, you know, all motorways, that kind of thing. And then as we went into the mountains, it started to get a little bit more wiggly. So I'm not too bad anymore, but when I was a kid, I was that kid that got car sick. I was that kid that on a school trip would have to sit at the front of the bus so they could like see out the window. To be fair, not so much when I got to secondary school. I was like, no, I'm too cool for this. I don't want to sit at the front with the teachers. I was like, oh, I'll be fine. I was fine. But yeah, so I felt a little bit car sick. But when we arrived there, it was incredible. We stayed at probably, I think, the nicest probably hotel I've ever stayed at in my life. Very, very, very lucky. But anyway, yeah, we arrived. You know, put our bag, checked into the hotel, that kind of thing. All the normal sort of hotel kind of stuff. And yeah, just had a really lovely time. I keep wanting to tell you the embarrassing things, but I feel like I need to tell you that, you know, what we did in order, because I have not one, but two embarrassing stories from this really fancy, nice hotel. Actually, maybe almost three if you count one, because it was a spa hotel. And if you are a big listener of the podcast, if you haven't listened to this episode, don't worry, it all makes sense. I feel like with my podcast, you can listen to any episode and everything kind of like makes sense. It doesn't have to be in like a chronological order, like listening to an audiobook. But anyway, if you listen to the podcast where I think it's called like Strange Swimming Experiences or something like that, where when I went to Norway to a spa where everyone was naked, this hotel, you also had to be naked, but it wasn't as bad. I'd just like to put it out there. I saw no private parts of strangers on this trip, so that is all good. But they did, however, when I think it's generally due to like a hygiene reason, and I do kind of like, I do get it like a little bit more now. Basically, if you go in a sauna, which obviously saunas are like the dry ones and steam rooms are like the steamy ones, but in the sauna where it's dry, they don't like you to go in wearing like wet swimming costumes or like just swimming costumes in general. But it's okay because everyone did what I did in Norway, which I felt like was the sensible thing to do, was wrap a towel around your unmentionables so you weren't exposing yourself. So that's what I did. Also, this trip, I wasn't with my boyfriend's brother and my boyfriend's girlfriend, which I feel like would have been like a little bit more weird. I don't know. What's weirder? Like family seeing your private parts or just like a random stranger that you'll probably never see again? I feel like a random stranger that you're never gonna see again is not as bad, but I don't know, maybe that's just me, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, there was no nakedness, it was all good. That's like the half embarrassing thing. But anyway, now on to something that I felt so awful about. Oh my gosh. So anyway, at the sauna, there was like a little door where you could like go outside and you could like see the mountain view and that kind of thing in the spa. And there was this couple who, just like to put this in mind, they had flip-flops on, so they were okay to walk out into the snow and, you know, look outside. And they were standing out there for a while. Me and my boyfriend were like, oh, let's go and have a little look outside. Let's see what's around here. It was really cute. That other couple were like taking photos and that kind of thing. And well, to be fair, just to put it out there, we were in swimming costumes and like with a towel around us or like a robe around us, like a toweling robe kind of thing. So anyway, we went out and we were like, oh, this is pretty. And then about 5 seconds later, we were like, oh my goodness, my feet feel like they're gonna fall off, because we were standing barefoot in snow and we were like, oh, no, 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 quickly, let's get out of here. Now, so I don't sound like as awful as a person, I just like to put it out there. When you're at a spa, you're very conscious about closing doors, if that's going into the sauna or the steam room, because obviously you don't want to let the heat out, especially if there's other people in there. They're like, oh, they left like a little draft of cold coming in. So you're very much like, when you go in, you quickly shut the door behind you. So anyway, what we didn't realise is that couple, they left the door open so they could get back in, because it was one of those like kind of like escape doors. You can probably see where this is going now. So my boyfriend ran back in, I ran back in, shut the door behind me, and then we're like, oh, let's go in the sauna to warm up. Now, we were sitting in the sauna, you know, chilling, minding our own business, and to be fair, this was probably the nicest sauna I've ever been in, because number one, it was just huge, fancy, and just very, very warm. But also, it had this lovely glass window where you could look out to the mountain range and the view and everything like that. And then what we didn't realise is this poor couple, they got locked out in the snow wearing only swimming costumes and a towel around them. So me and my boyfriend were there listening to the Zen music, chilling, having a great time. And then there was this couple that came running up to the window, like knocking on it, being like, please let us back in. And we were like, oh my gosh, we shut the door. We've locked them out. Can you imagine if we'd just like gone off somewhere else? They would have been like trapped in the snow, probably would have got hypothermia or something. So we rushed back round, opened the door, and we were like, oh my gosh, we are so, so sorry. We're so sorry. And I felt so awful. It wasn't good. So yeah, that was probably the most embarrassing thing that happened on the trip. Also, if you're like a spa person, like I would say I am definitely like a spa person. Like I love a good spa getaway. I think also because I love a good massage as well, because I have the most awful back. Like my back is not good. So much so that I, when I had, I very kindly, my boyfriend got me a massage because he knows how much I love them, which probably sounds a bit weird because to him, he's like, could not be me, could not do that. I don't know if it's a man thing. And he's just like, the thought of a random person rubbing oils into my back while I'm pretty much almost naked to him is for like an hour. He's like, that is like my worst nightmare. Could not do that. When for me, it's the most relaxing thing. I feel so good afterwards, especially as like my back and everything's quite stiff. But anyway, the lady, she said to me afterwards, she was like, oh, were you, because this was on like the last day or the second day, basically, because it was a weekend trip away. But she was like, oh, like, when do you guys go home? And I was like, oh, we go home like tomorrow really early. And she's like, oh, that's such a shame because I would have booked you in with like, I would have recommended you being, I don't know if she was just saying this because, you know, she didn't sound really concerned though. I was going to say maybe like, to be fair, I don't think she would get any like money or commission from it. But she was like, I really think you should like book in because they had like a spa there where you could also see like a physio and an osteopath and that kind of thing. I was like, I'll be fine. I'll just have like a normal massage. Like that was a bit more pricier and that kind of thing. So I was like, but anyway, she was like, I really think you should like go and see someone for your back because, and I was like, well, I do see my physio D, but that's, she lives like quite far away. So I only see her like every month or 2 months or month and a half kind of thing. And she was like, yeah, you should really get someone to like get those knots out of your back like 2-3 times a month minimum. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's always good to hear, having like a professional that's done your back being like, yeah, your back is awful. Like I thought it was bad, but having someone that's actually like sees multiple backs multiple times a day is like, yeah, yeah, yours? I have not seen one that bad for a long time. And I was like, ooh, thank you. So anyway, I should probably see someone in between when my physio D comes and sees me. But anyway, what else was I saying? Oh yeah, now on to, oh yeah, sorry, I was also going to talk about one of the other things that I saw at the spa, which I'd never seen at a spa before, which, it, again, if you're a spa person like me, if you're not a spa person like Esme, this is really boring, what are you going on about? But when I tell you, this thing, like, blew my mind. So, it was, like, lots of, it was three pools. There was a, or maybe there was four, I can't remember, but you kind of like walked up and down them, and they had like different colored like neon lights in them, so you could tell which one was the hot one, which one's the cold one. Obviously red was hot, blue was cold, so you walked into a cold pool first, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it was a hot pool, I can't remember. Anyway, so I'm not being very good at explaining this, so let's just say it was a hot pool. So you walk into this hot pool and it is like, you put your feet in it, and at first you're like, how is this humanly possible for someone to stand in here for more than a second? It feels like, you know, when you fill up a bath and it's just a bit too hot, you kind of stand in and then you're like, oh my gosh, I need to jump out. That's what it was like. And then you would walk through there and walk through a cold pool, and it was like absolutely freezing, like standing in snow, no thank you. And me and my boyfriend, when we first arrived at the spa, they kind of showed you around all the facilities and that kind of thing that you could use. And there was this lady, and she was, by the time like we'd looked around everywhere, one person in costumes on came back, she was, must have been walking through this thing for half an hour, and we were like, how has this woman done this for half an hour? This is like torture, this is pain. Anyway, we walked through and we did it for a little bit. Did it for a little bit longer. And then actually we were like, this is actually really nice. It was really relaxing. And by the end we were like, oh, I wish we could, like the pool was higher, because it probably only went just above your ankles. But it felt so relaxing. Like when you went in the water, like because your feet got so cold in the cold, when you went in the hot, it didn't feel burning at all. It felt really nice. And then if you stood in there for a little while, it would slowly get burning. And then you go in the cold and the cold didn't feel cold at all. And then it would slowly get cold. But I feel like things like that, like actually I was listening to a thing on the radio the other day about like cold water plunges and that kind of thing, which we did go in. There was this, it was a bit different to a cold water plunge I'd done before. This was one where like it was kind of like a little, like half horse, like a horseshoe kind of shape. So you went in, went around the corner and then went out. So you kind of had like a one-way system so you could walk through. And oh my gosh, it was so funny. But because this was like by the end of the spa trip where we got quite used to the cold like water plunge. For me, I feel like it's definitely like mind over matter when it comes to going in these things. I at first was like, put my foot in. I was like, I am not getting in there. No way, Jose. No, thank you. But if I just go, you know what? I'm going to go all in. let's go. I can do this. I'm just going to go in and go through as fast as I can, try and get my shoulders under, and I'll be like very proud of myself. So the first time I did it, I went to my waist, just went round. I was like, bam, I managed to go through the horseshoe. I did it. Next time, went through at my shoulders. And then the third time, it was so much easier. I don't know if it's because I just got used to the cold, or maybe I'd like just, you know, I was had that bit more determination. I managed to stay in for like 25 seconds or something. Like, it doesn't sound long, but when you're in very, very cold water, it feels like a long time. So that was good fun. But yeah, sorry, now on to the next embarrassing story. So this involved our little hotel breakfast in the morning, and it was quite cool. They had loads of, like, they had a smoothie machine kind of thing, where you literally got like raw fruit and vegetables, put them in the top of this thing, pushed it through, and then like juice came out, which the best way the best way to describe it is, I think it tasted like the juices at Wagamama's. I don't know if they use the same machine or if it's the same sort of thing, but I've never really had like juice like that before. I've had like smoothies and things, but not like a homemade fresh out of the thing juice. Actually, I think I've had orange juice like that, but anyway, that was really good fun. And then after that, I thought, you know what, I'm still a little bit thirsty. Also, I'm one of those people that I am so thirsty in the mornings. I always feel like this is one of my pet peeves as well. I feel like hotel breakfasts, they always have such small little like glasses. I know it's because they don't want wastage and that kind of stuff, like it's understandable, but it feels like I'm drinking out of like a little thimble, like a little shot glass. It's so tiny. So also, I feel like this is a controversial kind of thing, but I feel like when you're at, like, I don't know, I feel like when you're at a hotel, or when I'm at a hotel, I always go for apple juice in the morning rather than orange juice, because I feel like apple juice, you know, quenches your thirst a little bit more. It's not as like thick, I guess, if you know what I mean, especially if it's got bits in. So anyway, I was quite thirsty, had my juice, had some apple juice, that kind of thing. And then we were like, I was like, I'm going to go and get another drink because I'm still really thirsty. So I went and thought, oh, because they had like this, you know, like a little selection of juices. They had like pomegranate juice. They had like, I don't know, all the different like fruits that you can imagine. I was like, this is very cool. This is very snazzy. So I thought, oh, this like glass looks like it's got Sicilian like lemonade, or like not Sicilian, not, would you say, is it called, you know, like still lemonade that's cloudy, which is like my favorite lemonade. I remember the first time I kind of had cloudy lemonade, I was like, why have I been drinking like fizzy soda, like Sprite, 7-Up kind of stuff all my life when I could have been having this? This is like the lemonade of my dreams. This is such a weird memory. Do you ever have like really weird memories like this? Like, I have really specific memories. I remember being a kid and watching a Hello Kitty cartoon and being like, why is Hello Kitty's lemonade yellow? Because Sprite, that's clear. That's what I'm used to as lemonade. But anyway, back to the, this does have context, by the way, back to the lemonade story. So I was like, oh yes, like, I don't know if lemonade is like a weird thing to have for breakfast, but I was really feeling it. So I was like, oh yes, literally my favourite drink, I think, like still drink or whatever. And you can get fizzy ones as well, but I think the still is nicer, it's more like fresh. So it was like this fresh still lemonade. I had like little lemon bits in as well. I was like, oh, this is going to be incredible. This is going to quench my thirst. Poured a full cup of it. Went back to, you know, my table with my boyfriend, had my breakfast, took a big old drink of it, and I didn't realise that it was lemon juice. Just pure lemon juice. No sugar, no water in it. I don't know what that was for, but oh my gosh, the face I pulled. And because it was a fancy restaurant as well, it's not like I could just like spit it back into my glass. Like, I had this massive mouthful of lemon juice in my mouth, and I just had to down it. I just had to gulp it, and I can't lie, it made me feel a little bit ill afterwards. I don't think my stomach was used to having like that much like just acid like suddenly come down. Like, I felt like I needed to pop a couple Rennies or whatever, or some sort of thing to, you know, calm the acid down, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is a bit of a challenge here. But it was all good. But then I had this like glass of like lemon that obviously all the waiters walking around were like, what is this girl drinking? Like, what is she on? Like, why has she decided to just grab a glass of lemon juice to drink? So, anyway, that was my other embarrassing story. But overall, had a really lovely time, had a nice chill, did some reading while going on like a lounger, that kind of thing. So, yeah. Well, anyway, I had an incredible time in Italy. We were also so lucky with like the weather and the view, because when we were like staying there the first day, because we were like, oh, is there going to be snow? Is there not going to be snow? We weren't really sure. The first day we were there, there was no snow apart from at the very like tops of the mountain, obviously, where it's a lot colder. And because it's kind of like November, it had like all the autumn leaves. It was so pretty, all the orange, that kind of thing. And then the next day when we woke up, it was like just snow everywhere. Yeah, we only stayed there for two nights, but yeah, it was snow everywhere. It was so beautiful. It was like waking up, you know, when like you're a kid and you're like, it snowed, which in the UK, we don't get much of that like at all. We don't get much snow over here. So that it was just, yeah, absolutely magical. Such an incredible time. I was going to say something else, but I've gone like a little bit blank of what I was going to say about our trip away. I think it was that, yeah, it was the pool. I can't even believe I haven't told you about this yet. You would have probably, if you were on my IG and saw it on my story, you might have seen that the best pool that we went in at the spa was the outdoor one. And I had loads of people ask me, like, was it cold out there? That was, that was the warmest pool. So basically, to go outside, you swam from one pool to another. And they had like a glass door that would open so you could go outside, and they had like the view of all the mountains and everything. It was incredible. So yeah, would definitely recommend if you ever get the opportunity. Yeah, that was an incredible trip. So anyway, now back to being back at home with the horses, that kind of thing, because it is Esme's country life. I feel, well, it was kind of in the countryside where we were. It was at the bottom of a mountain near a ski chalet, and we were going to go for a walk actually around there, but the guy was like, yeah, all of the walks that where you get like a nice view or anything, like he said all of the walks and the hikes were like 2-3 hours, and neither of us brought like snow boots or anything like that, and we're like, maybe not. Maybe we'll just have a little relax. But anyway, yeah, back to the horses. It's been very wet, as you guys might have heard from before over here with the horses and that kind of thing. I was going to tell you about Joey and a little meltdown that he had. And I feel like, I don't know if there's like a moral to the story of this meltdown, but it was definitely like, don't always think some things are behavioural with horses. So me and my dad been for a little hack with Joey around the village. We stopped off at, this bit was on like an unmade track, by the way, so it wasn't like dangerous. We're on an unmade track, so it wasn't on the road or anything like that, and we were chatting to one of our neighbours that we see every now and again. She's horsey, so we had a little chin wag, a little catch up, talking about the horses and that kind of thing. And anyway, after a little while, Joey started to get a bit fidgety. And at first I thought, oh, he's just being a bit silly. Like, he wants to get home. Like, we're almost home on our ride. Like, he probably was just, you know, when horses just get a little bit restless, they get a little bit grumpy. They're like, come on, let's just go home. Like, he got a little bit fidgety. And I was like, oh, Joey's just, you know, he's just being a bit grumpy. He just wants to get home. Like, he's just a bit, you know, not happy. So anyway, I was like, oh, he's like a bit restless, I'll better go. Like, which I feel like with horses or with dogs actually, if you ever get stopped talking to a neighbor and you talk for ages, like, you can always use animals as an excuse. Like, it's the best. Like, as an introvert, don't get me wrong, I love talking to my neighbors, I love talking to people, but sometimes it gets to a point where there's like no end to the conversation. You're like, actually, I need to go and do this thing. Be like, oh, I gotta go and put the horses in, or oh, the farrier's coming, or if you have an animal with you, like, oh, like, he's getting a bit restless, I should probably take him home now, like that kind of thing. But anyway, Joey started fidgeting about, and I was like, oh, we should, you know, probably go. Like, he was, you know when you can just tell like a horse is not happy. So I was like, okay, gotta go, see ya. She was like, that's understandable. He's been very good standing there for like a good like 10-15 minutes. Anyway, started walking along, and he was still really unhappy, and I was like, what, Joey, like, we're literally going home now, like, what is your problem? And then he started kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it. He was proper, like, he was showing all the signs of a unhappy horse, distressed horse. There we go. So he was like swishing his tail. He had his ears pinned back. Like, he just, you know, when you can just tell, like, he had some bad vibes. He had some bad aura about him. He was not doing well. And I was like, Joey, what is wrong, mate? What's... And then he started kind of like... almost like kicking out. He wasn't kicking out on my dad though, because he was ahead. So I was like, mate, what are you doing? Like, what is this behavior? And then he started kind of like jumping about and like trotting on the spot and was just very irritable and very unhappy. And I was like, mate, we're literally walking home now. Like, you had to stand there for like, what, 15 minutes? Calm yourself, mate. Like, what's happening here? And then he started, I don't want to say rearing, because Joey isn't a rearer. He doesn't like go up on two legs. He kind of like crow hops. He just kind of like hops about, you know, but it was like an angry hopping about. And I was like, dude, take a chill pill. Like, what are you doing here? Like, calm down. Obviously, I didn't tell him off. I was like, something is wrong. I was like, this is not normal Joey behavior. Like, I know what he's like when he's grumpy and he wants to get home and maybe he's been standing around for a little bit too long and he's bored. But this is not normal Joey behavior. And I kept like trying to calm him down. I was like, Joey, you're okay. We're going home. Like, very calm voice, trying to calm him down, trying to figure out what was wrong. And then my dad, now this Joey, actually, this is like a really strange thing that not many people probably know, but Joey has like where his belly button is, which I feel like most animals, you don't really think of having belly buttons, but you know, if they're a mammal, they obviously have a belly button where they were connected to their mum once upon a time. But where Joey's kind of, you would imagine his belly button is, you can't see it because it's got all fluff on. He has this like tuft of hair, which whenever like he has a fly on him, I'm like, oh, I think he's got a fly. And because it was November, I didn't think, oh, maybe he's got a fly on him because it's November, like most of the flies have died or are no longer here kind of thing. My dad was looking under and he was like, oh no, maybe that's just like his tuft that everyone thinks is a fly. When I'm like, oh, can you just check if he's got a fly on his leg or something? They go for it and they're like, oh no, that's just a weird bit of tufty hair. Anyway, exactly where that tufty hair was, there was this fly that was, I don't know if it was trying to like, sorry, again, I feel like this podcast is not one to listen to while you're eating. I don't know if it was trying to like bury into his skin or like was biting him. It was going, I couldn't see because I was on him, but apparently it was like trying to bury into him or something like that. So my dad, very bravely, while Joey's flinging his legs about like a, I don't know, like a flailing fish on the ground, went round and managed to like get the fly, which was in a very, you know, like a very sensitive area for a man horse. So anyway, we managed to get that and then he was fine after that. And I was like, oh, my poor baby. I felt so bad for him. How horrible that must have felt for the poor guy in his little sensitive gelding area to have a fly burrowing into him. And I felt so bad. And after that, he was so good. And he was like proper all soppy with me and was like, oh, thank you. And just like, you know, when, you know, horses are just so loving and so lovely. And oh, I just love him. Anyway, he was very sweet after it. And I just felt so bad. I was like, my poor baby, I thought you were just being a bit bratty when actually he was in pain. So there we go. Sometimes make sure you check, even if it's November and you think there are no flies about, could be a fly. So check for that. But yeah, Joey is a horse where he hates flies. I've got a few friends that live like in the New Forest kind of direction. And apparently, like all of my friends that live there always say, never bring a horse from outside the New Forest into the New Forest. If you are not from like the UK and don't know what the New Forest is, it's basically this area where there's a lot of forest, a lot of trees, but there's also, I'd say it's one of the very few places in the UK where we still have like wild-ish kind of horses. Like, it's so cool. All of the houses have like cattle grids outside their houses, so the wild horses don't just, you know, wander into their garden or wander into like their front garden and, you know, driveway and that kind of thing. But anyway, yeah, there's quite a lot of wild horses there and things, not because of that, but because they have, I think there's these things called like sand flies or sand crabs or something like that, and apparently they proper go for horses. So I've got a friend and she's like, yeah, I live in the New Forest, I would never buy a horse outside the New Forest because they would just lose their nut if they were not used to these sort of flies, which I feel like Joey would probably, yeah, he would, I'd be out in outer space if that happened. But anyway, apparently my friend also said there's quite a lot of like wild slash roaming donkeys in the New Forest as well, I believe. So she had a horse that hated donkeys. And actually, there's quite a few people in the village that I'm friends with that keep horses at various... I live in a very horsey village. Like, there are a lot of stables nearby. I'd say there's probably more horses in my village than humans, to be fair. But anyway, I have a lot of people who ride past. They're like, yeah, when your donkeys are next to the road, oh my gosh, my horse cannot deal with donkeys. And I feel like there are a lot of horses like that. I've been very lucky, actually. All of the horses that I have never had an issue with the donkeys. They've all been all right. I think some just don't understand how small they are. I mean, Duke's fine with them. He's like the same. Maybe it's their big ears. To be fair, Joey has quite big ears, so maybe he just thinks, oh, it's like a little smaller version of me. I always call him his donkey ears or his big floppers. But yeah, there we go. That was my little anecdote or my little story of Joey and the fly and why he was so unhappy. Another thing that I thought, if you might be thinking, Esme, this is such a random thing to talk about, but I feel like, as like an adult, I don't know if it's a scary thing, a sad thing. I think it's because as a child, whenever you go to the dentist, you always go with someone, like obviously like your parents and that kind of thing. And basically my whole childhood that I can pretty much remember, I've always had my younger brother Max, because he's like exactly 2 years younger than me. So whenever I would go to the dentist, he would go to the dentist. And even when we got to the stage where, like, you know, I could drive, I didn't need like my parents to sign the consent form. Like, I was an adult, I could sign my own consent form and that kind of thing. Me and my brother would just always go to the dentist together, because obviously we'd be going to the dentist the whole time, and our checkups are always due at the same time. So we were like, might as well go together. Now my brother has moved out and moved away to university. I have to go to the dentist on my own, which I don't know why, but it feels like such a sad thing to do. Like, I know it's like pretty normal just going to the dentist on your own, but I don't know. I feel like it's not scary going to the dentist, because I am a girl who has had a lot of dental work done. Like, I've had everything done. I've had teeth taken out, not because they were rotten or anything like that. I was actually very good at brushing my teeth, because my mum would always say to me when I was a kid, she'd always say to me, when your adult teeth come through, she wouldn't call them my adult teeth, she'd call them my old lady's teeth, because she was like, you are going to have those teeth until you're an old lady. You are going to have them for the rest of your life, so you better look after them. So I've always been very good at like looking after my teeth. But actually, I feel like, I don't know if this is like personal information, this is like dental information. Last week's episode, I was talking about what my blood type is. This episode, I'm talking about my dental records. Anyway, I had like a really weird thing where basically I had some missing teeth, and I also had some teeth, like basically I just had adult teeth that never came through. So when I was probably about the ages of 11 to 13, I had like basically like rabbit teeth, because I had to have my baby teeth taken out because I had no adult teeth to push them out, so they just never fell out. So I had my four teeth either side of my two like buck teeth, like the front ones. I had two teeth either side, so four teeth in total, taken out when I was probably about 11 or 12, which at a young age to have teeth taken out like that, it's quite, I don't know. I was surprisingly chilled about it. To be fair, like, you have baby teeth that fall out anyway, it's not as bad. But if someone said to me right now, oh yeah, we're gonna have to remove like four of your adult teeth, I'd be like, no thank you, I do not want that happening. But I just remember back in that day, I was more worried about, you know, getting home from the dentist to watch The Dumping Ground on TV, which was my favourite TV show growing up, if there are any other Tracy Beaker fans out there. But yeah, I just remember little 11-year-old me, I didn't care about having my teeth taken out, I just wanted to get home to watch TV, this is my favourite TV show. Anyway, I feel like when you're, like, also, I was very lucky as a kid that I had, like, the same dentist until I became, like, a teenager kind of thing. So the dentist was never scary, because it was, like, the same guy. He had, like, a Father Christmas kind of aura about him, I guess. Like, he was just, like, very friendly and just, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, since I've kind of become older, like a teenager adult, I've had like a different dentist each time. I don't know why, but it just feels a bit off-putting. Like, when you have the same person each time, you know what you're in for. Like, when I went to the orthodontist, had the same lady each time. Lovely. Felt comfortable with her, that kind of thing. But like, it just felt really odd, me going to the dentist on my own, especially because I'm just used to going with my brother. And also, you know, going and seeing a dentist that I'd never seen before. It just, I don't know if it was scary, but it just felt really weird. It felt like, I don't know. So there we go. Also, sorry, back to what I didn't even tell you about the end of my teeth story yet. So I'm very good at bouncing around in this podcast, as you know, from different things. So yeah, I had braces. And then I also, a little fun fact if you didn't know, I have got a fake tooth. So I kind of don't want to tell you which one it is, so you can try and guess which one it is. I've got one which is a fake tooth and one which is a very small tooth, which has like been built up with, I think it's like called composite bonds, that kind of thing. Although the one thing that is quite sad, I can't use teeth whitening strips. I mean, I can, or like I can't really like get my teeth whitened or anything like that, because if I do, my composite bond and my fake tooth will still be the same colour, like they can't change. So if I ever want my teeth to be whiter, I would have to get that all changed, which part of me kind of wants to do one day, but then I don't want to look like, you know, my teeth are like glow in the dark. I feel like my teeth look very like very natural, you know. Anyway, sorry, that was very, very, like a very weird thing. So yeah, if you ever get a fake tooth or get a composite bond, my big advice would be get them a little bit whiter than your normal teeth. So if you ever want to get your teeth whitened or get them brighter or that kind of thing, you're all good. Anyway, that's what I'll say. Also at the dentist for the very first time, which I feel like is something that is like a very adult thing to do with the dentist. I don't know why. You just wouldn't really have this as a kid, I don't think. But I had a clean and polish with the hygienist for the first time. Now, I didn't really know what I was getting myself in for because I've never had this before. And what I tell you, it wasn't scary and it didn't hurt, but it wasn't pleasant at the same time. Like, I was lying there and I was like, ooh, this is like, you know, giving... This feels a bit like, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like, I feel like that if you're scared of it. Sorry, if anybody's scared of the dentist, I don't want to put you off. Like, I had a great time. Nothing hurt. It was all good. Although, you know, if any of you have seen the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory video film, which has the one, there's lots of different ones. Actually, there's the new one coming out with, what's his name? Timothée Chalamet, that's it. I feel like so many people have already made memes or like made fun of like the trailer for it, but I do really want to kind of see it. I feel like it's a very Christmassy film. Like, I'd always watch the one with what's his name? I'm so bad at naming celebrities. Johnny Depp, there we go. That's my the Johnny Depp Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is like my childhood one. I know there's the other one which is even older, but that one I just never really seen. I didn't even know there was one before that until like a few years ago. Anyway, that one, he's like traumatized because his parents were dentists or something. Don't worry, I had a lovely time at the dentist. It was all good. But it was just like a little bit, you know, you could feel it in your gums a little bit when he was doing all the, you know, cleaning and that kind of thing. So, you know, when you're at the dentist and they're always like, do you have any problems? Me and my boyfriend were laughing about this because I was telling him the story. Obviously, I was telling him about my time at the dentist and that kind of thing. We were like talking about, you know, how's your day, that kind of thing. And I don't know why we found this so funny. But like, imagine if you went to like the dentist or the doctor and they're like, oh, what seems to be the problem? And you just like ended up saying something like really random that wasn't due to like your teeth or your, like, your health or anything like that, but like, well, actually my kitchen sink's been leaking a little bit or something like that. And I don't know why we were so delusional and tired one evening. We were just like, found it, we were like hysterical laughing. It's not even that funny. Well, think of other things that you could like do, like if you were like checking out at like a shop or whatever and they're like, oh, did you find everything you're looking for today? And be like, well, actually, like just like a normal like grocery store or like shop or whatever, and like, well, actually, I was looking to buy a new car, but you guys didn't have any, so, like, I don't know why, but we were just, like, thinking off of, like, rows of random things like that. Anyway, so when my dentist asked me, do you have any problems or any issues or anything, like, I had to talk about my jaw. Now, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you will know that I have quite a clicky jaw, and every now and again when I'm talking, you might be able to hear it click. And I was talking to him, and I was basically had to explain what I did for a job, which is always like an awkward thing. Like, normally if it doesn't come into conversation, I don't really talk about it, because I feel like I've got to the stage now where most people know what like a content creator is, or I normally say YouTuber, because I feel like that's easier to understand. But anyway, so I was like saying, oh yeah, like I go to horse shows and do like meet and greets and things, and I see people for a while, and when I do a lot of smiling or when I do modeling and do a lot of smiling, my jaw really hurts. And he was like, well, if your jaw hurts, I think that's like muscular. And I was like, yeah, I do see a physio and she gets all the knots and everything out of my jaw, so that helps. And I was like, but it does click sometimes. I was like, the muscle pain and everything, I'm not worried about. But the clicking, on the other hand, he was like, your jaw should not be clicking at your age and the way that your teeth look and everything like that. So anyway, I'm going to have to go back in 6 months to the dentist and also have some more x-rays. I had x-rays done to see if I need my wisdom teeth taken out. And so far, three out of the four are looking all good. They're looking in the clear. They're going to be coming out in the right place. One, however, one is a little wonky. One is going on a little adventure, and we don't know if it's going to come up, pop out the correct side or not. So anyway, I'll keep you updated. My mum had to have her wisdom teeth taken out, and I'm quite scared if I have to have that done. But if I do have to have all the, like, you know, get knocked out, have all the gas and air and stuff, and I go a bit loopy, then that could be funny. I feel like, I don't know what it was, but for some reason, when, like, back in the day, I felt like it was on Vine. If anybody remembers Vine, I feel like I'm going to sound like such an old person saying that. All the young Gen Alpha kids listening to this will be like, what is Vine? What are you going on about? Although I'd say most people that listen to my podcast are probably, like, my age or older. I feel like a lot of people that listen to my podcast are people that are, like, listen to it while, like, cooking or doing chores or, like, doing the horses or that kind of thing. Also, a lot of families watch my videos and listen to my podcast as well, which is really lovely. That's one thing I love. Whenever you guys say, like, you enjoy listening to the podcast, it makes me so happy. But anyway, a lot of people listen to my podcast also, they say, on, like, long car journeys. So, yeah, let me know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or just give me a DM. I always love to hear where you're watching or listening to the podcast. Anyway, sorry, back to what I was saying, Vine. Sorry, that is a real loop that I've done there. It was, I don't know why, but I just for a while got loads of videos. I think this was like a thing on the internet that people just did, but people would record themselves getting their wisdom teeth taken out, not the actual, like, extraction, but, you know, the, like, being a bit silly or wild afterwards after being, like, on all the drugs and things that you get knocked out on. So you never know, that could be funny, could be interesting, but I don't know, I feel like I don't know how I'd expose myself, but I feel like maybe I don't want that on the internet, but it might be interesting and funny for my family and friends. But anyway, there we go. Hopefully I don't have to have my wisdom teeth taken out, but that is pretty much my little story from the dentist. Yeah, look after your teeth. Do that. So anyway, that was not very good advice, but it's not scary going to the dentist. I went there on my own, it was great. Anyway, that's the podcast. Sorry, that was such a weird ending. I don't know why I've just been so weird like that. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing some of my embarrassing stories that I feel like there were quite a lot of this week, actually. So I hope next week I'm not as embarrassing. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hope you all have a lovely day. Thank you so much again to Red Post for sponsoring the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next time. Bye.